This is Mix 93, WKMJ.
The 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by 2 on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bring it in front, and it's scored! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Misiak in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
Hey, it's a Michigan Tech Hockey Update here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We are excited to have head coach Joe Schott with us today. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, Dirk.
It is nice to see you, man, and nice to have you back in here. At first, when we were getting ready for this show, it didn't seem like it had been that long since you've been here, but it's been over a month already, and we have so much to talk about, don't we?
It's going
to
be good. It's going to be exciting.
All right. So anyway, right off the bat, we want to remind people that if you have a question for Coach Schott, and you're listening here live on Monday morning, not the recorded version of this, you can send it in, dj@themix93.com. We already have a few questions that have been sent in, and we just want to let you know that right away so you can get those in as soon as possible. We'll get to those questions in a little while. But so much going on, Coach, and you know, we usually don't have a whole lot of time to chat before we come on the air here, so I'll kind of throw some of these things at you right away. But I wanted to get your thoughts on Tony Esposito's passing, one of the great goaltenders ever in the NHL, and of course at Michigan Tech.
You know, he was, I have a bit of a personal side with him. He was, he's from the Sioux, went to his hockey schools, idolized him growing up. Tried to, when you're a kid, I'm Tony Esposito, because being from the Sioux. Really a well-liked man. Different in some ways than Phil, his brother. Phil got on the unpopular side over in the Sioux, because back in, I'm going to say, the early 90s, he bought the Greyhounds, the Sioux Greyhounds, the major junior team in Sioux Canada, and they're the idol. I mean, they're what it's at. They're the landmark of that community, as you probably know. Phil bought it, was immediately going to move it. And so he turned into villain number one in his hometown. But Tony, on the other hand, always had a prideful, humble side to him, and stayed out of the, it was often, I think, misunderstood in a lot of ways, but he certainly had the Sioux Canada Italian pride to him, as far as respect and things like that. So, I talked to him several times when I came here, because of the things you'd hear. You know, he was, you know, like, he distanced himself from the program and things like that. I never got any of that out of him. All I got out of him, never verbally or anything, was in my perception of him, is that Michigan Tech was a time in his life, and then he moved on to the NHL, and then that was a time in his life. And that's kind of, I think, how he was in some degree. He just never, I mean, I can tell you firsthand, I don't know the amount of times after his hockey school things ended, the Sioux wasn't a stopping point for him along his journey. So Michigan Tech was a time in his life, I think. The Sioux was a time in his life. The NHL was a time in his life. He moved on to Florida, which was his life. Ended up in spending his summers up in Wisconsin, time in his life. And just a very prideful man that had an incredible, absolutely incredible career that was one of the reasons that I got into goaltending. You know, I had some good talks with him on the phone, in the last 7 years or so. And it was really a good time to talk to, you know, I enjoyed talking to him. He sent me through Darcy Way, sent me a couple of really nice personalized pictures. I had the Tony Esposito mask growing up.
Oh, you did, hey?
Five of them. I'd wear one game, paint them all different ways, and wear one game, wear one the other. It's amazing. Awesome. They even let us wear those when we were kids.
And correct me if I'm wrong, one of the first guys to really start using the butterfly technique?
He was, as far as I know of, he was the first. Yeah. And then we all did it, you know, because it was so out of, because back then it was stay on your feet for a lot of reasons, you know, because goalies didn't wear masks, often and things like that. So, he was a unique guy, again, knowing the dynamic of where he grew up and how he grew up and things like that. He was a unique guy and a really good guy.
You look at another thing happened since the last time we had you on here, Coach. Big feather in the cap for Michigan Tech hockey and for the area, for that matter. Kyle Kukkonen being drafted by the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, extremely proud of him. And, you know, we have a our connection with him. The reason we get a guy like that on, you know, committed to Michigan Tech was he's Suzanne Sandregret's nephew. So, you know, he has the ties to the area. He loves the area, you know, grandparents in the area. Things like that. So, and again, want to certainly send condolences out to Suzanne with the passing of her father and Kyle's father and Trevor, who's also committed as Kyle's brother, with the passing of their grandfather and, you know, Matthew and Bradley and John, everybody in the family. So, that was a big thing for our community. I know that up by my house, the Quincy Mine was lit up for, every bit of a week, in honor of that. But we got him because of that. We committed him a while back. We love his talent. He's a hard-nosed, player, plays a lot like a guy named Mark Oliver, who I was fortunate enough to coach at Northern Michigan, an All-American, signed with Colorado after his third year. Led the CCHA in scoring back at that time, and he reminds me a lot of him. He's got, breakaway speed. Can do a lot of things on his own, can change the tempo of a game on his own, so we're fortunate to have him.
Talk a little bit about what's been going on, Coach, in the locker room as far as the guys that are around and weightlifting, and are they taking the ice? Well, give everybody an update on that if you could.
Yeah, it's been a great summer. A good portion of our players are here and spent the summer here, and that's an important thing to me, because for the last couple of years, our guys coming in haven't been able to really understand the full gamut of what Michigan Tech and Michigan Tech hockey is about, from a few perspectives. Number one, haven't gotten to really see the freshman last year didn't get to see what our crowds are like, what that means, what the student section is like, what the misfits are like, what the community support. So, they're gonna get that this year, and that excites me a great deal. But just as big as staying, when you really buy into this community, our guys tend to stay here. They're paying rent living off campus usually in the summer anyway. So they choose to stay here, whether it be because they have girlfriends here or whatever it is, to work out and train and things like that. And then they get to see what this is all about, and they find out why so many ex-NHLers and people and major industry people that have graduated from Tech come back here, buy summer homes, come back here and spend their time here because of the people in the community. So they've gotten to witness that firsthand. It's been great to have them around. They've worked hard in the weight room. Because the number that we're here, we're going to change what we do a little bit in the fall and get more proactive on the hockey side of it and not feeling we have to get guys in condition because they didn't spend that summer here and work out. It's been able to be monitored to some degree to find out, you know, to make sure that they're online and they're conditioned. So, I'm excited in that regard. It's great to see them around. It's great to get to know them more. And now, for the most part, I'd say 95% of our guys are here. The veterans, for the most part, are all here. And then the freshmen, now that orientation's going on, are here with just a couple of exceptions. So it's a big time. I've spent a lot of time, it's been a great off season and watching NHL playoffs that went late, which was great. I love it personally because our season's done. We can just dive right into the NHL playoffs, film games, watch back games, implement things that we want to put within our system, tie that in examples from NHL games to what we do and where we can tweak a few things individually and collectively as a group. We put a lot of time into some locker room renovation, things that I want to get done within the locker room. Some minor things are getting done immediately. We're going to have some more work being done to keep up with the new college free agent landscape and try to get those recruits when they come in to see that we have everything and more that you could want in your experience in college hockey.
Don't we have more information coming out every day about COVID and what might happen and all this stuff? Is there a different feel for you and the coaching staff and the guys on the team coming into this year, where we are now compared to last year? with so many unknowns. And we knew we were going to start late last year. We knew there probably wouldn't be fans. You know, is there a different feeling this year for you guys?
Yeah, there is, because I'm anticipating our student section, our fan base, and everything like that being an active part of what we do. I want to plan and get together, and I do want to put a plug in. I think there's going to be some restructuring of the Blue Line Club, and I would personally like to get that to be a more active group. I'd like some people who are just crazy about Tech hockey to get involved in that, and that's a group that really is a support group for the team in setting up events and doing things like that. So integrating the team within the community, which I want to get back to in a big way, and so I'd like to kind of get some revitalization in that. And some of these things have you don't want to say that apathy could have been involved in, but some of these things I want to make sure that they get revitalized, and so we need to know what we can do, and we need to be proactive in that, such as the Misfits, even to the point where I've talked to some old Misfits about coming back and sharing some early stuff with the new group, because we're going to have, you know, half of the Misfits this year, you know, freshman and sophomore, who haven't experienced what it's about, who haven't been actively involved. You know, I have a friend, Harsh, he's from India, and he's become a friend of our family. And I asked him, this is a good story. Harsh, were you a Misfit? And he says, no. He says, I'd go with them and all my friends, but I never signed up because you have to stand the entire game, and I can't stand for an entire game. So that's what the Misfits are. He didn't sign up for it. He cheered, he did everything else, but he didn't consider himself a Misfit because he didn't stand up for the entire game and cheer. So that's a great story. We want to get that in excitement, that enthusiasm back. We're going to have a really good hockey team. I'm more than optimistic and excited about our group, our culture, our depth, our newcomers coming in, the ability of our veterans to show the way, the leadership we're going to have. It's just going to be a really, really exciting year that we want to take full advantage of re-energizing the community and getting Michigan Tech back from the layoff that we've been through the last couple of years.
It was such a strange year last year. It's just amazing. And you must have so much respect, not only for everybody surrounding the team, the staff and everything, for what they put into it and yourself, but just the guys themselves and the ones that are coming back, and just, you know, the dedication to the program and being a Husky hockey player.
Yeah, incredible. And the whole spirit of it was carried through from the players that were able to, you know, the seniors that were able to be a part of it their freshman year, and the juniors, you know, the Blisses, Bretzmans, those guys that were able, you know, this, you know, that could probably even tell the guys, when this place is going, it's just it's incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, again, well, and you can't say enough about how progressive the university and Suzanne and Joel Isaacson and you know, our president, you know, right on through the administration, was how aggressive they were in saying our students are going to be, we're an on-campus learning center. Our engineers are on-campus learning center. Our business people are, it's all integrated. This is a hands-on environment, and kind of pushing the envelope with regards to that, where so many people, like I just saw RPI even this year, is not allowing students into their games, is not allowing fans. They're only going to allow administration and, I believe, family members who meet certain protocols into their games. They've already announced that. That's going to be hard for them. That's going to be hard for them in their, you know, I can't imagine that going on here. And so the whole gamut of it, from the players, the staff, it was hard on me. The staff didn't travel with the team last year. So we drove extra cars, and we had one guy assigned to stay on the bus with the team for necessity. But we all separated so that we didn't get, you know, when you're shut down, the things that we put in place in rooming and housing and everything so that we could have the least distraction should we get, you know, be affected by it. Total respect, and now there's total excitement. Certainly not taking our foot off of the gas in regards to that, but I am extremely excited and optimistic You know, any, you know, you look at little things. Our guy, you know, our guy stayed here, they doing what they do, working out, hitting the links, taking their classes, doing stuff in the summer. We had four guys on this year's team, and this is a plug for the golf course. You know, what a great job they do, and how what a family environment that is, the Portage Lake. But we had four guys this year get hole in ones. Four guys off our team got hole in ones. Nordy got it. Alex Nordstrom got one, a local. I believe Bretzman got one. Alec Bretzman, Trenton Bliss, I think, got one. And then just within the last 2 weeks, Chris Leip got one.
And oh, is that right? I didn't
and these
know
are
that.
All, and it's not like they went out on their own and just kind of, hey, I got one too. These are all witnessed by other guys. Like one guy, I believe, was there for all four of them.
Oh, wow.
I think Crespi witnessed all four of them and saw all four of them. So I think that's a great thing, a story in itself that, you know, with four guys, how many people get hole-in-ones at the golf course in the summer, let alone four guys off the team getting them? So just a lot of fun with this group.
Wanted to ask you about your thoughts on Cliff Watson with the Ice Hogs.
Yeah,
and
First of all, how much are we going for? A half hour, an hour today?
Hour today.
Okay, good. Happy for him. He's you know, that's a tribute to Cliff. He they liked him. He had a little stint there before. They liked him. They're looking for that leadership. He's a mainstay. He loves hockey like that whole group of guys did. Neville, that group. Loves hockey and pushing the envelope with it and extending it, and very happy that he got it. It's great to see, you know, this morning I was thinking it's great for our guys to see two NHLers and L'Esperance and Carroll, in our locker room lifting and doing the work that, I mean, they did the wind gate today, went through the wind gate, which is a puke exercise,
yeah.
You know, and so they did that you know, for no reason other than to do it. And so those types of examples, all those things are great things and great for the growth of our program.
And you talk about Cliff Watson. Is it, I'm forgetting the name of the coach for the Ice Hogs. King? Is it? No. Anyway, he was talking about just how you can depend on him. You know, he may not wow you a whole lot, and he's worked his time. But that, I thought that he did a little video interview about Watson that we aired here, and I just thought it was really interesting the way he described it. You know, he knows his place, and if he gets sent back down for whatever reason, he says, you know, he said, Cliff told me, you know where I am, and then, you know, I'll work hard and try to get back up. So I really thought that was cool the way the coach talked about him.
Yeah, I have a good one in his last year here. I was assistant coach here, and I ran our penalty kill and one of our power plays. Anyways, he wasn't on a power play unit. Cliff wasn't, and he was a senior, and he's seeing all his teammates and everybody, you know, all these accolades for Hannah, all these accolades for Roy, all these accolades, you know what I mean? Many of the other defensemen are in that, but he didn't have that opportunity to do that. So he came to me and said, okay, listen, I get it. I'm not going to be on the power play, but I want to make our penalty kill the best. I mean, that's the type of guy he is. So he and Neville, we're both highly involved in, you know, I'd call them in and say, okay, this is what I'm thinking. We'd watch video with him. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? How do we want to go about this? So that's the type of guy he is. And it's kind of what you just said. Okay, you know where I'm at. I'm here to do my job. I'll do my job. And that's how he was. And that year, I think we were fifth or fourth or third in the country in penalty kill. And last year, we were back up to fourth, 90%, highest penalty kill we've had since I've been here last year. And we put a lot of time and effort into that. So a lot of similarities.
Tyrell Buckley, Arvid Kataroth, Eric Goetz, TJ Poglaze, David Reisden, Grayson Reitmeier, Tyler Rockwell, Marcus Russell, Brett Thorne, all named to the Cramp-Aid All Academic Scholars with 3.6 GPA above. Some of these guys obviously have moved on, but this is from last year. Another nice feather in the cap for the Huskies, and goes to show that these guys, you know, a lot of these guys it's basically two jobs. You have to go to school full time, and you have to go to hockey full time, and somehow they find a way to do it.
Yeah, academic All-Americans. And there is, you know, there's a caveat to that people probably don't realize. You might see a program that has, three. You might see a program that has more, like to the all-league, all-academic team, things like that. There's a difference in the education here than there is, I'll just say, some other places I've worked. There's a difference. there's a difference. And that difference shows up on the back. And I know I was down on campus yesterday, walking on campus, watching all the orientations, all these little mini groups going around. And a couple of them, you know, the person would say, hey, coach, hey, guys, hey, will you come meet the students? And I said to a couple of the groups, I said, hey, listen, you can listen to all this person tells you want. They're doing a great job. They're showing you everything on campus. But the most important thing you're going to get out of here is when you leave here, you're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You're going to make a lot of money when you leave this campus. That's what we want to hear. You know, you'd hear they'd clap and things like that. There's a difference in the education here. So to maintain that status as a student athlete at the Division I level at Michigan Tech University is a little bit extra. It's like MIT. It's like, you know what I mean? It's a little bit extra. So to have a number of like that type of a number is really a tribute to those athletes, student athletes.
It's very impressive. We have so much more to talk to Coach Sean about. And if you have a question for Coach Sean, you can email it to me. Do it quick though. DJ@themix93.com. We'll talk a little bit about the revamped Great Lakes Invitational for this year when we come back. We've got some other, just lots to talk about. Even the schedule, Coach can touch on a little bit more when we come back. It's all part of a Michigan Tech hockey update here on Mix 93. WKMJ. Welcome back to a Michigan Tech hockey update here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We are with head coach Joe Sean as we talk about the Michigan Tech Husky season's coming up, and our official Joe Sean Hour shows, weekly shows, will start in the first weekend in October as we get set for the game's coming up. I can't wait. And I guess, can we talk a little bit about the schedule? You know, the schedule came out, coach, during the summer, and is it still a bit of a document that could be updated at this time?
It is. It's a little bit moving with two aspects. First of all, I think it's a great schedule. It'll give us every opportunity that we could ask for to prepare us to have an opportunity to play in the national tournament. The strength of the schedule is going to be high, which is great. With it, the two moving parts right now are that the coach's body, quite some time ago, petitioned because of this COVID situation and the lack of being able to get Canadian teams over, as many teams normally do, to play exhibition games. We petitioned to ask the NCAA to allow an intercollegiate exhibition contest in some fashion. And that went from saying, okay, no fans, no tickets, just a inter-squad game where teams can prepare to. Now it's at, my understanding is, what's been prepared, and I think that they met on it yesterday, either the 23rd or the 27th, and they're going to determine whether they're going to allow a single exhibition game of some kind. So with that, we were proactive once we knew it was going to go to a vote, and I reached out to Northern Michigan, who's always been great to work with. Grant and I have always had a really good relationship on doing what we feel is best for hockey, for the players and for hockey. So we talked and came upon a conceptual agreement that we'll play a game, an exhibition game, on Saturday, October 3rd. I hope I'm not jumping the gun on this, but an exhibition game on Saturday, October 3rd, if the NCAA allows that exhibition game. It'll be played here, and then we'll return it next year and play an exhibition game there. But I'm excited about that.
So the second you're talking about, right?
It's Saturday.
Okay, that's
whatever
Saturday
gotcha. Is.
Yeah, that's the second. Okay.
And so we'd play an exhibition game as a regular game, but it wouldn't count in the standings or in our overall record and things. But that would give us that one game in prior to the following weekend, which will be a big weekend for us. So I'm excited about that potential opportunity, but it all comes down to whether the NCAA is going to allow it or not.
When will they make a decision on that, do you think?
Well, they were supposed to discuss it in committee. The 23rd is sticking in my head. It could be the 27th, which is in a couple days, but it might have been discussed yesterday. Okay. But I didn't see anything yet come through. Our commissioner certainly knows that there's a number of us, our teams, that are looking forward and have already tentatively scheduled something to occur, to get a little bit of a jump. So then the second thing is that I'm looking to stay down at, after the GLI, format, after those games, staying down in that area for a couple of days and playing a second game against the development program. The development program, you're allowed one game against them that is a non-counter. And then if you were to play them again, a second game, just like any other exhibition game, if you brought a Canadian team, the first game could be a non-counter established as an exhibition game, or one of the games could be, and the other game would be a counter.
Counting against your 34 that you're allowed to play.
You're allowed 34. We have 33 games scheduled because, first of all, it's hard to schedule a one-game deal. I tried to get Northern to do it in a preseason, like on that October weekend. Mm-hmm. Now it looks like I've worked that in an exhibition fashion if it works. But we have one more countable game. So we're going to stay down there. The development program is coming up here and playing us with Notre Dame on the 18th, the 19th, I believe it is. And the second game is against the national team. So we're going to stay down there and play. Adam Nightingale is a 3 or 4 year player for me in juniors, good friend of the family. I believe I coached all three of the boys. He's the coach of that program now and asked if we were interested in playing them another game. I tried to get Western Michigan to do it because of the new format. We're not going to get a chance to play Western before Andy Murray resigned his position there as the head coach. I was talking to him about it, but they're at their 34-game limit already. And so they couldn't play us in a game down there. So the development program is going to work it in. And as of now, we're looking at playing a game down there against them to fill out our 34-game schedule. So we'll stay down for a couple games. So those are the changes, those two changes, in addition to a great non-conference schedule against Wisconsin, Notre Dame, the development program, Clarkson, mm-hmm. which is always a ranked, top 10 ranked team, and then the Michigan State format for the GLI. So those will all be Michigan right now being a number one ranked team going into the preseason. We'll have a tremendous team back there. It'll be a really good non-conference schedule.
Anything else as far as other?
No, am I missing something that you know?
You just had mentioned to me a couple weeks ago, and I didn't. Do you want me to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you said possibly an inter-squad game.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, good point on that. Yeah, I apologize for that. And then we're going to look at playing. We've reserved the ice to play an inter-squad game. We have an off weekend after the Notre Dame and
development
program. So that following weekend we have we're off, and we have a larger roster this year. So what I'd like to do, what we're going to look to do, is to play a game for a part of our 100th year anniversary thing, to play an inter squad game at the D Stadium on that game. And I think that'll be a tremendous experience for our players and for the community to see our colors back. We haven't done that since I've been here. We haven't played a game in the local area since I've been here, outside of.
It must have been just before you got here then.
It might have been they did something, haven't done it in 7 years I've been here. I'm kind of looking forward to doing that, to playing a game at the D, so I'm excited about that.
Things happen quick on that ice sheet.
It'll be fun, yeah.
That's really good. And that would be, so that would be the 22nd or the 23rd, Friday or Saturday?
We're looking at the Saturday.
Okay.
Just because I think the next weekend we go to Clarkson, I believe, so that'll be a travel week. So we're looking at that. Plus, I don't think I want to give the guys a whole weekend off, 2 days off, and then, with a short week of practice before we go to, before we head to Clarkson.
All right, let's take a break. I know a lot of people we've got a couple questions on the Great Lakes Invitational. And I know, we'd like to hear your thoughts on that, since it came out. You had actually, the last time you were with us, Coach, you had alluded to the fact that this what might be what the format is. And then shortly after that episode, it came out official. So let's talk about that. Plus, we'll get to some of your questions as well. It's a Michigan Tech Hockey Update here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Welcome back to a Michigan Tech Hockey Update with Head Coach Joe Sean. Happy to have him with us in our studio here today, talking about Michigan Tech Hockey as we get set for the season, which is coming up real soon. As you just heard, we're hoping that there's an exhibition game against Northern Michigan in that first weekend of October, but we'll have to wait and see if that gets approved or not. Great Lakes Invitational, shortly after we had you on last time, Coach, the announcement came out that the Great Lakes Invitational would be vastly different from what we what we usually are expecting of it. It will not be played in Detroit, and it will be more of a showcase format in which us and Western Michigan will switch buildings between Yost and Munn and play a couple of really good non-conference teams. Obviously, Michigan, my goodness, with their all their guys coming back, those draft picks. But it is quite different, and there were a lot of people that, at least on social media, it seemed like were not happy about the format.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's you know, doing cartwheels over it. There's no question about that. But, you know, it's really a matter of making the best. I think our administrators did the best at making the best of a bad situation. It would have left a void on everybody's schedule for two games late, trying to find two games, especially two games of a competitive nature. And really my understanding of it is that the reasoning for it is the backlog right now of commitment levels to the real money drivers at the facility, at Little Caesars Arena, which is the concerts and shows and things like that. So, again, my understanding is that they've really made a commitment to limit the sporting events at that building for this year and go fulfill the contracts that generate revenue, because they took such a hit last year. You know, number one, it's owned by a franchise. You know, I believe the Illichs own the building, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, and they're still run, I believe, by Olympia Entertainment and things. So, you know, they're hemorrhaging money to the pro teams that were not drawing revenue in. Contracts, you know, facilities and things like that. So they needed to create revenue, and that's just understandable. So they made a format that worked. I don't know if anybody would have been completely agreeable. Maybe they would have, I don't know, to putting in one venue. So this was keeping it alive and keeping it going so that it could reestablish itself as the premier hockey tournament, in college hockey going forward. And I know that I know the respect to that, to the legacy of John McGinnis and the formation of this tournament. And so again, none of us are happy about it. There's going to be every effort put into restoration of it going forward. Now, one question I know that comes up, and I haven't even discussed this with Suzanne yet. So, I've had people that have told me, that have mentioned to me, a concern with it was that people didn't want to play the triple header format. And I don't know how our administration feels about that and things like that, but I know that there was a concern within the tournament structure of that championship day where there's, 11 o'clock in the morning game, then a 2 o'clock championship game, and then and then the Red Wings playing that night. But I have had several people tell me personally that they really looked forward to that format, that they liked to go down there. They were down there and they really liked to do those games, whether they went to the other college game that we didn't play in, whether it be we were normally in the championship, but whether they didn't go to whatever game we weren't playing in on that game and then go in the Red Wing game, they like that. So I'm certainly going to discuss that, going forward and say that from my perspective and what I'm hearing from people is that was more of a positive than a detriment. The teams may not like playing at 11, getting up and playing an 11 o'clock game, but the reality of it is that we're in the entertainment business, in my opinion. This is strictly my opinion. And if our base, who goes to these games, like the triple header, like the chance of seeing the NHL game, and if the facility is in support of that, being the Little Caesars Arena, mm-hmm. then, you know, I'll play at 8 in the morning, 6 in the morning, whatever. I personally, this is just my opinion. Whatever the people want, we'll show up and play. The two teams would have to play, and I'll do that. So the effort going forward will be to restructure that or to get that back, I know, into the elite college tournament that it's always been.
And you describe it very well. And we actually had Suzanne on shortly after that announcement came out of the format, because, you know, there was some backlash about it. And she came on the air and pretty much said exactly what you've been saying, too, that it's a bad situation that nobody can really, do anything about, so they're trying to make something out of nothing with it right now. But one of the questions we have coming in here, Coach, and I guess we can get to this right now, and it's a question that I've been asked, is there any chance, if it's not going to be at the Little Caesars Arena in the future or whatever, we hope it is, that, you know, it's something that could come up to the John McGinnis once in a while and the tournament be played up here. Has anybody ever put that on the table in front of you?
Well, you know, I think people realize with me on so many things that I say, I don't interest myself in a tremendous amount of way, in a tremendous amount with the things that don't, like, I don't like to energy, I don't like to micromanage, you know, if it's not in my lane, I guess is a good way to put it. Mm. So we've talked about, I know I've talked with Suzanne about a variety of things, you know, about doing it. This tournament, hopefully, is, you know, it was certainly around long before I'm here. Certainly, it's going to be around long after I'm gone. Is my hope. I'll do whatever the people here feel is best for the tournament. For me to come in here and say I'll only accept this or that, you know, is not the right way. I would love it. Again, my understanding, there's three moving parts to this that are the host, co-host, tri-host, whatever. It's a Michigan Tech tournament, but there's three teams mm-hmm. that need to be agreeable on a format. So, and those are us, ourselves, Michigan and Michigan State, with a guest team, primarily from our region. I think they've done a good job with that, a Michigan-based team or Bowling Green or something like that, as the other team in the tournament, where you certainly could go out and get another team, but that's the format that they use. So, you know, maybe they'll have that discussion 1 year at Munn, 1 year at Yost, 1 year at the McGinnis. I think that'd be a great format. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a great format. But it is not, those things haven't been presented to me yet. This year was, I think, a survival year. Those things are probably being discussed between the athletic directors and the important people that maybe presidents in some degrees at our university and whatever, but it's not I haven't sat down. Now certainly we'll have those talks and options like we did this summer to get through this year, mm-hmm. and Suzanne's great about including me in things, and she'll let me know what they're talking about going forward to resolve this. But right now, my focus is 2021-22 hockey season.
So going back to the extra game with the U.S. development team,
yeah.
Is it any time that week, or do you have
we haven't nailed that yet, okay. And that's why I haven't said it, because they're going to have to change. They're locked into a league already,
okay.
And they have to do some modifications to make that work. But Adam Nightingale's the one. He brought it up to me. Would you be interested in doing this? And I said, absolutely. Absolutely. I got it. Let me talk to Western. Andy Murray and I have already been having some conversations about the possibility of playing. He wasn't able to work it out. So, we're sitting there with one game. So we'll get that locked down, but it will be in Plymouth.
And, going to some of the travel, really only one flight right now, would be the Clarkson,
yep.
Series, and that would be, flying to Syracuse and busing. And it's just, we did that a couple of years ago. It was a lot of fun. Maybe the games weren't what we were looking for, but it certainly was a lot of fun. And what a great program.
I thought they were good games.
They were
identical games, one goal games. Yeah. We wanted to come out with wins in those games. They were identical. They got third period. We tied it up. Mm-hmm. Each game won one in the third. They scored a goal shortly after to win it. So they were really good hockey games. We have a great alignment for this. We're going to head over there when we head over there. And our flight is we're going to bus over after the game to Syracuse on Sunday morning. On Saturday after the game, we'll get up for a 7 a.m. flight on Sunday morning. And as of now, we're arriving back in Houghton, at CMX at 11 in the morning on Sunday.
Right.
So we'll be back to watch football. Guys will be back to study, get recovery, and then we'll be ready to go the following weekend. I think we might play Lake State the following weekend, but we'll be ready to go and we'll have a home weekend the following weekend. So, our home away too is like, we don't have these extended 3 and 4 week road series and things like that either. I really like our format, how our league's done a good job on home and away.
Coach, another question for you. How is track 2 of conditioning coming along? Are the players on campus now, which you kind of talked about already? Also, how is Jed Pietola looking? Any chances we will see him in a game this year? And are the captains staying the same this season?
Good questions. regarding the conditioning level, it's good. We did actually see in some preliminary things a slight bit of drop off in a couple of players who went home after track A and didn't come back in the condition that they left in. That's always good to see, because we've been living with that the last couple of years, where players, you know, weren't allowed to stay here, weren't allowed on campus, weren't allowed. So the growth in that regards has been really good. That's why I like I mentioned earlier, I'm going to change our format of how we start and what we're going to do to start, because I think we're in really good shape. I think Tyler's done a great job, and we're in really good shape. The majority of the team, like I mentioned, stayed for the summer. And there's just a few that aren't here right now, because we do have, I believe, six freshmen that are in. Our transfer students are already here, and our six freshmen that were coming in are here for orientation for the most part. There's one face I haven't seen yet. There's two faces I haven't seen yet. One is our Swedish player coming in, Marcus Pedersen, and there's another one that I haven't seen. But I understand he's here. He's supposed to be here anyways for orientation. And then, yes, there is going to be. It's a great question. I'll talk about Jed. Everybody's going to have a chance. The good thing we have this year is we're going to have tremendous competition. It's going to be hard on some players and hard on the staff in a good way, that everybody wants to play. We are legitimately going to have players that could be playing. Like we've said so many times about the best teams we play, they have players on their roster that could play for any other team in our league, most other teams in the country. We are going to have that this year, but I'm choosing to do that and to develop from within. I think we're at that stage right now. Our biggest deal is going to be able to keep people happy with this new free agency, that we're doing everything we can, and they are going to have an opportunity to move up and lead. If you recall, you know, I talked to so many players from back in the day, but there was a time when freshmen never played here. Mm-hmm. Back in the Tony Esposito era and things like that, when they played 3 years, that's all they played, because freshmen were not allowed to play Division I sports. Mm-hmm. So that first year was practice, acclimation. So we're going to have a degree of that, but we want them to move in and be our next Trenton Bliss and Alex Bretzmans and those players. So Jed will certainly have an equal bit of chance as everybody else to play. No one's going to be gifted anything. And and I don't think the good teams want it and the good players want it that way. They want everything earned. And the last question was
captains.
I am going to make a change. I've decided to put a C on Trenton Bliss. I talked to Alex about that. Alec Bretzman about that, who wore our C last year. And it's without a doubt, they're different captains, but they are both the leaders of this team. Alec by example, by his quiet demeanor, and Blisser with how much he goes out of his way. He's kind of he's that guy that when someone's having an issue with me or with something, or he's the guy that says, hey, listen, you know, what's, Do this. Do you need help with your schooling? He's that guy on your team, which you need. So they both equally have share in that responsibility, as do Colin Sawyer and Goetze. But those two guys are certainly above and beyond the leader. So we're going to put a C on Blisser, more than earned.
Quick timeout. We have a couple more questions to get to here on a Michigan Tech Hockey Update with Head Coach Joe Schaan. Thank you so far for your questions, and we'll get to more in just a moment. Stay tuned. All right, back to a Michigan Tech Hockey Update with Head Coach Joe Schaan here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Coach, we have a question that actually came in quite a while ago, right after your last show with us, and it was asking about new recruitment commitments. This fan hasn't seen a whole lot in a while, and is wondering if there's any news out there that you could share.
Well, I think since then there's been one, but we're obviously not allowed to, you know, to get into details about that. What I can say is we're aggressively recruiting every bit or more so than we've done in the past. So, but we're piecing, you know what I mean? We're piecing. I'm not into committing a bunch of guys and decommitting them. That's not what we're about. We've gotten past that stage here. It was painful. This will be the first year past that, where, because we honored commitments when I took over. We honored them. Those that we could. We were way overcommitted. If you remember, we were at, what, 24 that first year, I think? 24 scholarships when I took the job. And I said that. Every guy that came in and interviewed, I knew personally. Every guy. There were 10. They interviewed 10. So there were 9 other people that came in here that that wanted to meet with me. And I told them all. We're at 24 scholarships. My whole first interview with Suzanne was nothing about me getting the job. And as a matter of fact, I had a second interview with her, which she said to me, I think I need to give you a proper interview. My first one was all, what you need to know is where the program's at right now. And we were at 24. We're only allowed 18. We're at 24. So, you know, a couple of those, changed and went to another school. They left with Mel, and which we needed something to happen. And then some I had to honor, and some I had to let, you know, a couple I had to let go and say, I don't know what to tell you. We'll have you here. I don't have money. We don't have money here. It was, you know, I tried to be as honest with you in the recruiting process and over time as to where this was at and where I saw you fitting in a very polite way. So this isn't coming as a complete surprise. I always try to be very honest. But we're past that stage of having, you know, 6 full scholarship guys not in the lineup. So right now we're getting the right guys. We're getting the right guys. So the guys that we commit are coming in here. There's a lot of programs you don't see a lot of guys being committed from. You see one here, one there, because all you're trying to do is fill that 5, you know, that 4 or 5 number, 6 number every year. And you know, we're at the stage right now where we're doing that. So we're not throwing that big net. We're not committing guys just so we can have something posted on the internet that we have a guy committing. We want them to be the right guys.
You know, I know we're running out of time, and I wanted to talk more about individual players, but we can do that once the actual season gets going. But we talk so much about the center position. You do, coaches do all over the place, how important it is and how we've had some struggles in that area at that position over the last couple of years. Do you feel with what has been done here, and it looks like the answer is yes, but do you feel like we are much stronger in that position down the middle?
Well, that was what our effort was. We went and brought in Tyrone Bronte from Huntsville. You know, I I'm excited to have him. I watch video on our games against him, and you know, you're looking like, boy, that was a nice play by Bronte. Boy, that was a nice play by Bronte.
So, against us.
You know, the shots are you know 48-9, and he's got, you know, he's in on 7 scoring chances. So, yeah. Excited to have him. We added Matt Quercia, you know, at the center ice position. We have depth at the center ice position now, which is what we want, and we're going to keep focusing on center. And recruiting guys that can play all over, because the way we play, really the way we play, we want guys to play where they're at. And so I would rather have more centermen, guys that can play center, because I think they can play anywhere, versus have wingers that can't necessarily defend and play the center ice position. And that's the area we're working for. That's where you're seeing our recruiting going, and that's what we're trying to do. And I think we're getting, you know, we've done a good job in that regard.
Does the second week or first week, if we're able to get that northern exhibition in there, does that seem still like a long ways away for you, Coach?
Cause, no.
No? Oh, it's coming up quick.
No, and it'll breathe right on top of us. So I'm, you know, we have 2 with Wisconsin, and I'm very cognizant of this. 2 with Wisconsin, Notre Dame right after that, and then Clarkson coming up within weeks of that. Those games are going to be fun. I think we're ready to compete in those games. You know, record will be what the record is, but I think we're ready to compete in those games. We have a team that can compete. We competed with these teams a year ago, with teams of that caliber. So, you know, I think our team has done their job to be able to, you know, whether we have a blip here, whether we have a blip there, I think we have the character and the team within to look for the end game. But I do like where we're at, and I do like how we're set up in our schedule and things to allow us an opportunity to have a really exciting year this year.
You know, knowing that fans will be here, you know, there's going to be more excitement at the games, both home and away. Do you even notice, like, the student managers, you know, Nate, the trainer, the support staff, have a little bit more skip in their step these days, knowing, because I know they even feed during games. They feed off the crowd, and not just the players, not just the coaches. The support staff feeds off the crowd, too.
I'll give you one example of that. Anthony Harris. Now, Anthony Harris is a guy a couple of years ago. I didn't know. He's local. I didn't know if Anthony was even going to make it. He's one of our equipment guys. I didn't know if he was had the desire to even finish college, probably after his sophomore year. We talked last year after the year was over. He's going for his MBA now. Mm-hmm. And he said a main reason, a big reason why he wanted to do that, because he wanted to have his last year be a normal year. He wanted to have his last year. Now think about that. He's an athlete too. Mm-hmm. And he's in there working out as hard as anybody else. Like this kid's built his body up. He could play right now for us. Mm-hmm. But he said, I didn't want that to be the way I go out. So to answer your question, everybody's feeling it. And as they are, they should be on every campus. But everybody's feeling it. It's going to be, we're excited to get going.
Coach, thanks so much for everything. Great show. And we appreciate it. We'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Thanks, buddy. You're 100% today.
All right. Thank you.